This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 212 for Friday, November.
What month is that?
I was just teaching my four-year-old months this week as well, and that's what I get for it. November 21st, 2014. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Dickinson. My beard is growing.
Looking good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Coming from you. The rest of those guys, I don't care what they think. But
just needs more bushy. Stop that.
I'm growing it as fast as I can. Oh, Jerry Hildenbrand in West Virginia.
With an untamed beard the way it's intended to be.
Alex Dobie, who's been growing a beard for 6 weeks now.
Hey, everyone. Not quite.
Looking good there, pal. Andrew Martinick in Seattle.
I think I'm at about 2 weeks right now. So.
What's that, Jerry?
I said Andrew was just too lazy to shave today.
So if it's your first time joining us, welcome. We're in kind of a weird period. We're always in a weird period.
We don't always talk about beards at the start of the podcast.
We're in a weird beard.
We've been period since like 2011, haven't we?
That's the truth. So once again, I didn't actually like come up with any links, but I do know what I want us to talk about. We're just going to get right to it because it's Friday, damn it. People started getting their Android 5 updates this week, for better or worse, it seems. I mean, we've got the Moto X has started getting it. The Moto G did as well, I think. Who else? Obviously the Nexus phones, the Nexus 5, the Nexus 6 already has it.
The Nexus 7 has gotten it. In Poland,
yeah.
And there's you can manually flash it if you want. Kind of an interesting point, though, because it's, LG made such a big deal about being first, and it's really, you get this update on your G3, and it looks 99% the same as it did on Lollipop, on KitKat.
It really seems like it was just for them to say that they were first.
Pretty much. However they did it, it's an achievement to get an update out there. You can argue about whether they tied with Motorola or whether they beat them, but it's an achievement to get it out before even Google Play editions get updated. But at the same time, do you really want an update that doesn't really change a whole lot, and you have this kind of weird mix of the LG style, which is a little bit flat and a little bit material, but you don't have any of the animations and certain features like the lock screen notifications are just a bit half-assed, so I don't know. And that's kind of a question that I put to people on Twitter a few weeks back, is do you want this update that just adds the behind-the-scenes stuff and you don't really get much of the UI, or is material such a big deal that you have to do something with it, like it appears Samsung and an HTC are? So I don't know. There's not an easy answer there.
So here's kind of what I want us to talk about a little bit. I mean, we all see the tips that come in. And right or wrong, people occasionally think we're Google and can fix more things than we can. But we've had quite a number of people say either, I don't like this update, it makes it look like an iPhone. And I think we've gotten fewer of those than we have this kind, which is, holy crap, my device is broken now, it's so slow. Or we've had a few people say their contacts disappeared, which really doesn't make sense, especially if you took an OTA. I guess it's possible something
especially
went wrong.
Especially if they're synced to Google.
Yeah, so and maybe they're not. I don't know. I mean, they're
video playback seems to be a
yeah. That's another one. Things not working within Facebook or YouTube, just flat out not working. So I want us to kind of talk about what might be going on there, what you might be able to do about it, and whether this is really a bad update. And I kind of think, you can't really say it's a bad update.
It's a bad update in that it's an update that does bad things for some people.
Yeah.
You can't really blame that on Lollipop itself. It's different on every device.
There's so many variables that go into this stuff, right?
Exactly.
You're trying to apply an update to a phone that somebody's had for several months or a year, or in the case of Nexus 4, 2 years, and they've potentially never reset that phone. They've never done any kind of maintenance on it in any way, and you're going straight to 5.0. It's like, man, you don't even know what they've done to that phone.
Well, what gets me is if you find, and I'm going to use the Nexus 7 2013 model as an example, because it's a pretty popular device and it got the update fairly early. If you find five people who got the update, four of them are going to say, oh, this is really good. And then there's that one guy who's having legitimate issues. He's not making them up to be a jerk. He's really having issues. And, you know, how do you fix them? I'm glad I'm not Google.
And that was kind of my point. Like, it's tough to tell if it's actually something like if there's an actual problem with the update. In fact, we kind of saw that today. Looks like a bad batch went out to AT&T and they had to pull them. How big a problem that is, I don't know. It could be, you know, 100 phones that were just flashed bad and went out. It could be 1,000. I don't know.
And when you're talking about devices that already went out, a Nexus 7 2013 came from one of hundreds of batches that are all slightly different in that at that point as well.
Well, slightly different, but presumably the same hardware and the same, you know, ones and zeros on the flash memory.
You know that they switch components when they need to.
Let's start with what you guys are seeing. Andrew, you're using a Nexus 5 some, right?
Yep. Not as much since I got my Moto X, but I put the OTA on it, and I'm using it, and I've also got on the Nexus 7 as well. And I can't say that I'm noticing anything. I noticed on the Nexus 7 a little bit of chop here and there, but honestly, it was like that on KitKat as well. So I can't say that I'm noticing anything huge. I almost feel like I need to put my main SIM back in the Nexus 5 and use it for a few days and see if I notice anything that you would really only notice, you know, using it every single day.
The only thing I've seen, I'm trying to think, I haven't really seen anything broken on the Moto X, and this is the same, you know, leather Moto X that I've been using since it was available. I don't think I've seen anything broken, and especially not in the sense, and I mentioned this in the Nexus 6 review, there was some lock screen stuff that was just bad, and I've seen other people mention it as well.
The MPA makes that a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, just some really bad flickering if you try to open an app from a lock screen while it's locked, and I mean, there were some obvious bugs that were in the initial software. My only real complaint, and we've talked about this earlier, is just that animations are slower than I might like, and whether that's on purpose or whether, you know, I just don't know.
Animations are slower. I think we should say that we want to differentiate between animation lag and animation speed, right? It's not, we're not talking about choppiness. We're talking about the speed at which you transition from one thing to another.
And that's a difference. That's kind of where the line is drawn with a lot of the tips and, you know, tweets and Google Plus posts we've seen, is there's a mix there. People that don't like the design changes, and then people that have legitimate issues with the update process itself messing with things. You know, those are two different things.
And you're always going to get that with such a huge design change. You have the same thing on iOS going from 6 to 7. You're going to get some people who don't update because they just don't like the way it looks.
And that's the legitimate reason. I mean, I think not liking the design is legitimate. I think not updating is not particularly a good idea, especially when you have an Android phone. You can make it look however the hell you want.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do about it? Jerry, you haven't chimed in yet.
Well, I'm sitting here. What really rattles my brain is we are seeing issues, and I'm going to throw an arbitrary number out there, but it's got to be at least 90% of the people calling us in or writing us about issues. None of them are coming from Motorola, people with Motorola phones. They're coming from Nexus 5s and Nexus 7s.
There are also a hell of a lot more people that have the Nexus 5 and Nexus 7 than the Moto X with the update, right?
But I'm just wondering, could some of these issues be... We know that what comes on your Nexus isn't really stock AOSP compiled Android. It's very, very customized for the device, and Google has made changes. They usually make it better. I'm going to assume Motorola took the code and did their own thing. Could it be something that Google's done with maybe the launcher? Or, you know, I'm concerned, are these OS level bugs that, you know, even though most people aren't seeing them, they're still there? Or are they something that's been, you know, customized and it's just not working as well in this version? In the end, I know this happens every year. Man, if this is your first time with a Nexus phone that's got an update, or, you know, even a non-Nexus phone like the G3 or the Moto X, you're going to see this. You're going to see a couple more point releases. That's going to make it better. That still doesn't excuse it, but I'm not surprised.
It was in, you know, I mean, going back to the Nexus 6, it was pretty obvious when I was reviewing it that as good as it was, there were some things that just were broken. Maybe not horribly broken, but broken enough that I could tell. And they're working on that. And like Jerry said, it happens every year. I'm trying not to, you know, shake that off. And if anyone starts singing Taylor Swift, I'm ejecting them from the podcast. Because we said earlier, you know, if the race to release your update first means you're breaking things, that's not good, and we need to hold them accountable. And that goes for Google as well as any other manufacturer, right?
Yeah. Well, it goes more for Google. They have had supposedly been, you know, working on this, and you would think they've had builds that they felt were probably ready for release for several months now to do some final testing. So you have to point the finger even harder at Google for letting this kind of stuff slip by. Although, having said that, I'm pretty sure that Samsung, HTC, Motorola, and the rest have had this code for a while, regardless of what a piece of paper says.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, look, when LG's releasing updates a week after the Nexus 5 gets it, then yeah.
And that's a good thing, but in some of this, I can't tell if it's just... things happen. Maintenance releases, and you could consider this a maintenance release just because it's a ROM update, right? Sorry, that's what I mean. Any sort of update like that, there's always the potential to break something. That's why, you know, that's why you don't do them every, it's one of the reasons why you don't do them every week. They're not easy. Right?
No, they're not easy at all. They're probably more difficult than building it the first time. You know, anytime you change something, you have the potential to ruin a lot of other things.
And again, that, you know, it goes back to, do you want it right or do you want it first? And there's a balance to be struck there. There absolutely is. And I just don't have an answer for it at this point. I mean, I can sit here and complain about it all I want, but the fact is we want both. And
I think a big issue, too, is in the past, nobody had a Nexus phone. Hmm. These same types of bugs were present, and the people that had them complained about them, but it was such a minuscule amount of people. Well, that changed. The Nexus 7 especially changed that. Now there's a lot of these devices out there, and we're hearing a lot more complaints.
Well, speaking of which, let's talk about the AT&T Nexus, because it's got AT&T ringtones on it. It's got an AT&T logo on the back.
Well, of course, it's a carrier.
Oh, Nexus. No.
You went into an AT&T store and bought it.
You take everything that was said about the Verizon Galaxy Nexus and just change that for AT&T Nexus 6.
Well, we don't know that. Do we know that all this stuff is in the system partition? Because that's what people are talking about, isn't it? If it is, then that's going to affect updates, definitely. If it isn't, if it's like off on its own partition somewhere the way some of the proprietary stuff is on the Nexus 9, then potentially you're looking at that stuff being siloed off and having a situation where that can be updated by Google and you can flash factory images on top of it.
Apparently it's in a separate partition.
Like Motorola has done for the past couple of years, a vendor partition? Is that how it's...
Yeah,
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Well,
and you know what? The Nexus 6, when I first put a T-Mobile SIM in it, in the car on the New Jersey Turnpike, it downloaded the T-Mobile Accounts app. And that made sense. I got that. Is this just people complaining for the sake of complaining? If you don't want AT&T to have any say in it, buy an unlocked one.
And for God's sake, especially on the AT&T one, because you can buy the Play Store one and use it on AT&T. I mean,
this is the price you pay for the subsidy. Period.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
And if you don't like it, save up and buy the one that the carriers can't touch.
At the same time, sorry, go ahead.
I would suggest if there's any way you can do it, save your pennies and screw AT&T. Take them out of the picture altogether and only use their SIM card. You know?
And same thing for, I think, buying a carrier version and trying to take it to another carrier. That's such an outlier proposition.
Right. I mean, I don't think anybody expects to go walk into a Sprint store, buy a GS5, and go walk over to Verizon and activate it, or walk over to AT&T and put the, you know, or put an AT&T SIM card in it and just have it work. It's just... I mean, maybe it's just the additional knowledge that there's only two SKUs of the phone, basically, you know, hardware-wise, that is making people think that it's a little more compatible than it is, but you're still dealing with the same system or systems that are incompatible as far as not necessarily hardware-wise, but process-wise, the way the carriers handle swapping devices.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times we have to say it. Anytime you get any sort of unlocked device anywhere near Verizon, and to a lesser extent, but still, Sprint, I mean, bad things are going to happen. They're not designed for that sort of phone.
And especially when they sell their own version of that phone, they're not as interested in you bringing your own.
Well, no, I believe Sprint was okay. You just had to wait till their systems would allow you to turn one on. But I still say Verizon is going to have a list of approved devices.
I just don't get all the gnashing of teeth over, you know, this different Sprint version or this different AT&T version when you can relatively easily, assuming you can find one, you know, buy one that works on everything. It I mean, that's the price you pay for subsidy.
I kind of see why people are bent out of shape. The Nexus S is a good example. There was a special one built to use T-Mobile's radios.
Yeah, AT&T and T-Mobile and International were all different.
Everybody called that the T-Mobile Nexus S. But other than the radio firmware, everything else was the same. You got your updates at the exact same time. It was just a different SKU, a different model number. If you compare it to that, there's a big difference. But that's not what you should be comparing it to. You compare the AT&T Nexus 6 to the Verizon Galaxy Nexus. You have a carrier involved selling it through their storefront that has the means and the methods to add their crap to it.
We don't – I don't know. Is the Verizon Galaxy Nexus comparison really – do we know that's the case until updates start rolling out? I mean, if
no, we don't.
We're in a situation where you don't get 5.0.1 until like June next year, then yeah, it's the same thing. But you've got to – I mean, for all the pain points that were with that device, you've got to believe Google wouldn't get themselves into that situation again.
If they're using that vendor partition, I don't think that would be the case. I think the updates will come exactly at the same time, and your AT&T apps will stop working.
But as far as the you know, the boot screen and the ringtone and the, you know, whatever, and the branding on the back and all that stuff, I mean, that's the same as any other carrier phone.
And if you worry about, you know, the boot animation and you're buying it from me, I mean, you are not a normal AT&T buyer at that point. You're a nerd like us. If that really bothers you, if you see this big giant phone on contract, you're like, that looks awesome, I'm going to buy that, which, you know, perfectly reasonable thing. You're not going to, you know, I'm going to buy that because it's $99 or whatever it is. I don't even remember what it is. Like, you're going to be perfectly fine with that. Yeah. I mean, and how often do you see the boot animation anymore?
I would be willing to bet if you buy an AT&T branded one, within a month, you'll be able to, other than the logo on the back, it'll be identical to the Play Store one, yeah, software-wise, if you want to take the time to do it.
It's just not anything that would keep me up at night at all.
Do we know about bootloaders yet?
It's unlockable, just fine.
It's SIM-locked to AT&T, and there is some sort of encryption bit in there that checks if you're tethering. So yeah. I'm not going to say that the bootloader is identical.
The bootloader is unlockable just fine, and you can flash the images. That's why we know it's the OEM partition or the vendor partition separate. You can flash the images, and it doesn't touch any of that stuff, and it works. But yeah, it's still SIM locked.
I don't want to go out on a limb and say that at the hardware level, the bootloader is identical. I don't want to go there yet.
It could be not identical, but it is unlockable.
Yeah.
You can flash any other the factory image from Google just fine.
Ben in the Q&A is asking about encryption, which is another big thing. It's on by default. It's been a while since I set up my Nexus 6.
It's on by default, but only on devices that ship with Lollipop.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I can't even encrypt my Moto X still.
Before we dig into that, I want to... You ask anybody with a Nexus 6 if encryption seems to affect how fast their device is, your answer is going to be no. You ask everybody without a Nexus 6 who has seen benchmarks on some site we're not going to mention, they're all going to say, oh, it's horribly slow. It's not. Stop.
I don't care about benchmarks. I'm using a Nexus 6. I'm using a Moto X. One is encrypted, one is not. They feel exactly the same.
It's... I've I see no issues, none whatsoever. I mean, I see issues with the Nexus 6, but none of them are because the software is encrypted and technically file access is a little slower.
Yeah, that's the least of my concerns, I think. What are my concerns? I don't even know what my concerns are about the Nexus 6. And look, I get that I'm not a big fan of the huge size. I mean, I've gotten used to it. But it's funny, people are suggesting we need to hire somebody who likes these big phones to review them.
Hire somebody who will write an opinion that's exactly the same as mine.
Right. Yeah. I have a... That's
not how it works.
People saying that they claim that you have a bias for something, so their solution is to hire somebody who has a bias that agrees with them. That's not fixing the process in any way.
No, the way you do it is you find somebody who will be critical of things, and it's okay if you disagree. It's not okay if they're, you know, flat out wrong. In fact, I think I said, you know, it was my line in the review. It's in the hand of the beholder. If it's not too big for you, that's awesome.
I think we both said, other than the size, it's a damn amazing phone, and a lot of you people are going to like it more because of the size.
Yeah, my thing was just, I don't think the size makes up for what it lacks against something like the Moto X or, you know, any number of features you can pick in any other phone. I don't think the pure size of this thing makes up for that.
Doesn't really do that much to justify the size in the way that, say, a Note 4
does. Yeah, the Note 4 has the pin input that makes it special. Let's talk about the fingerprint and the grease on the back. But otherwise, this is a really, really good phone that a lot of people are going to like.
You and I, and anybody else that had one a little bit early, a lot of our complaints about jittery and lock screen sliding, and oh my god, I hate this. That OTA does a nice job.
Oh yeah, and I finally flashed the image this morning. I gave up waiting.
Did you?
Yeah, and we'll let it settle down and use it some more. Yeah, and a lot of that stuff was just obvious. Okay, early software, something's wrong. Not here's the final software, and oh my god, it's really broken. So I mean, there's a difference there, and you kind of start to get a feel for it when you're reviewing devices. What was I going to say?
I think you were going to say you hate big phones and everybody else should.
No, you know what it is? It's weird little things. I don't think I meant to put it out somewhere, but like on the Moto X, I got a pop-up in the middle of the night. Let me see if I can find it so I can say exactly what it says. In the middle of the night, your Moto X says, hey, it's the middle of the night. You're probably sleeping, so I'm going to let you sleep. And everything's going to be cool and see you in the morning. Now, at least once you get this thing, there it is, downtime. It says, Android Lollipop includes new features called downtime and interruptions. Downtime silences your device, and interruptions allows you to break the silence when something important happens. Sometimes downtime and Moto can overlap. Mm-hmm. So that means sometimes Lollipop and Motorola's own customization there, its own do not disturb, will overlap. Please explore these new features and choose what's best for you. No.
That's a stupid.
They should have done that instead of writing that tooltip.
Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous. There was nothing wrong with it before, and I get that it's different than Lollipop, but pick one or the other. Don't give me both.
But what you really nailed is the friendliness. Hey, dude, I think you're asleep. If you're not asleep or want to change something, tap here. Have a good night. Is a much better way than that 400-word diatribe you just wrote explaining settings and software numbers and all this other crap that a lot of people are going to look at, scratch their head, and just dismiss because they didn't understand it.
I think that's my biggest complaint about Lollipop right now is the notifications and the muting or the interrupt, just that whole thing. It just feels so over-engineered versus what everybody knows and expects, which is, all right, I lower the volume until it's off or I lower it until it vibrates. That's it.
That just really nags with you, doesn't it?
It does. Keeps me up at night. Actually, it did. It woke me up at 2 in the morning because Alex and Richard woke up and start talking to each other over Hangouts. And suddenly, I'm not back on no notifications. I'm back on whatever. And it's like, again. So it's just...
Well, dude, you need to take Tasker and an NFC tag. First,
no!
Your device, wipe cash 3 times, right?
And nothing good could come of those 2 things.
All I have to do is root my phone, install a custom... No.
While you're in there, clean out that boot animation.
Yeah. They just took something simple and made it not simple. And that's not the way you should do things.
And the kicker? The tablet has exactly what you want.
I know, right?
Gotta get a KitKat ROM for your Nexus 6.
You know it's happening.
I should do that. Oh, man. What else is going on in the Q&A? What am I missing? I'm trying to find some more Nexus stuff in here. Are you guys noticing vastly improved battery life with the new Google Play services in 5.0? My Nexus 5 is loving it. I don't think I've gotten the new services yet, so I'm waiting on that.
I would have to check if I do.
Yeah, I haven't, and well,
I also need to go back to using the Nexus 5 for a bit.
And Nexus 5 battery life for me on Lollipop is still pretty terrible, so.
I'm still on KitKat. I'm waiting for the OTA. I'm gonna.
I saw you mentioned something on that today.
Okay. My Moto X is still waiting for it too.
Do you want to mention why, or can we not?
I can't talk about why on the Moto X, but on the Nexus 5, I'm just waiting. Like
you're just waiting.
I can talk about why on the Moto X. I just haven't gotten it yet.
Jerry's Moto X is already on Android M.
Jerry's Moto X may never get an update again.
And look, there's. I mean, take the past half hour of what we talked about, and you know, maybe not getting the OTA yet is not the worst thing in the world. I know patience is hard. I know. But at the same time, all this crap we're talking about that doesn't work is getting fixed. Hopefully.
Now, on the flip side, from somebody like me, all this crap is well worth putting up with to get a Nexus to get the new Lollipop. Just do it, guys. You know, I don't like it because it's too big and it's not a phone I'm going to carry around. But Lollipop is pretty freaking cool for most things. It's fun to play with.
Are you which shoulder are you the angel or devil on? And which one are you?
I'm in the middle with a, you know, I don't know. Somebody said I should be playing the spoons, so I'm in the middle playing the spoons. So I'll have to do both things.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Oh, actually, that was something else I wanted to talk about because I've seen some emails and on the Twitters, people saying, well, my battery life isn't all that much better on Lollipop. Lollipop sucks. But I think they're forgetting a lot of what the whole Project Volta is, right? I think they're missing half of that equation.
It's more about making sure the phone is woken up in a sensible way by background stuff when the screen's off than, you know, just magically better battery life.
Well, but back up. I think it's more about giving developers the tools to be able to do that.
Yes, yeah.
And they still have to implement it. So,
and you could imagine, I mean, the Google apps that are already there presumably already have this. They're already using it.
You're presuming a lot, man.
I mean, you would hope so, right? If you do material design, you might as well do Volta as well. I mean, who knows?
Your phone still has the same size battery and the same processor as it did before the OTA.
That's not to say there aren't customizations in Lollipop that just, you know, there's. You never get a ROM update without it saying, you know, improves battery life.
Project Volta was three distinct things. It was better battery management at the OS level.
Yep.
That should be on your phone with the Lollipop update. Better tools for you to see how your battery is being used, which have turned out to be more dangerous than they should be and worthless.
Why?
Because people are seeing stuff that has no explanation anywhere, and we all have to make up our own explanation of what we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry and I looked at them, and I didn't know what half of it was.
Right.
I mean, it's not in English. It's almost more like a debugging thing than anything, right?
Yes. And then that's a good step, you know, segue into number three, tools for developers to work on ways to make their apps much more battery friendly. You need all three things to see a vast improvement. And we may never see a vast improvement on an old device, but it's worth a, you know, mention that it's not magic just because you got a Lollipop update.
It is funny, just the difference between, as I'm bouncing back and forth between the, like I'll do a day on the Nexus X, on the Nexus 6, and then a day back on the Moto X, and just the capacity, and I'm down to 15-20% by the end of the night on the Moto X, while the Nexus 6 is still chugging on.
Yeah, that's been the issue on the Moto X for sure.
But oh, that quick charging's nice.
But you have to plug it in instead of just putting it on a Qi charger.
Yeah, and I tell you, it was really cold here last week, and I'd plug in that quick charging, and the damn thing would get so hot.
So really cold. Stop. You're not allowed to say really cold.
Well, it was like we got into the 30s, like low 30s.
Yeah, but look at those people up in Buffalo.
Well, you see them under all the snow.
You chose to live in Buffalo. That's kind
I would. I want to live on your couch when it's really cold. Just saying.
But yeah, I mean, the phones get hot, and that worries me a little bit. I'm real curious to see what happens to the long term.
I talked with somebody at a place that makes processors for Android phones and other phones. There's a threshold of what's acceptable and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel something and you think it's hot, you're not anywhere close to that threshold. The threshold is, oh my God, this is going to burn me. It feels so freaking hot.
Huh.
It's still acceptable. You know, it's low enough where you're not actually going to get burned, but it's a lot hotter than we think it is.
I should buy a thermometer.
I've got one here, one of those ray gun thermometers somewhere.
Oh, well, good. Now you have something to do this weekend.
And we've actually got a feature coming up shortly, I think, on batteries and how heat and stuff affects, you know, charging rates affects long-term life. So
it's a,
maybe in the next few weeks we'll see.
A lot of fancy chemistry and science that you don't understand.
Ryan wants to know, what's the best way to remove the AT&T logo from the Nexus 6?
Google.
I would
return it.
Jerry stole my
blowtorch.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, go to play.google.com.
I was going to say gaffer's tape.
I will have to write it 100 times. Do not.
Here's how I would do it. Hold the phone like this, and you can't see it. It's just not that big a deal. If you willingly spend $300 with AT&T to get that phone, and that's what bothers you?
It bothers me the same way seeing Verizon on the front glass. There's no need for it to freaking be there. You know who gets your money every month.
I'm not saying I like it.
I want to be fair.
It was there before you bought it.
Yeah, there are options.
I want to be fair and with my hatred towards carriers, but on the other hand, you're buying a phone from AT&T. It's going to have one small logo on the back like every other phone from AT&T.
If that's the price you pay to get a subsidized phone, and again, it's not like you're not going to pay that money back at some point. You're just not paying it up front.
And that's the funniest thing. There's even fewer reasons to get a subsidized phone. I mean, AT&T will discount your monthly bill if you bring your own phone anyways. So you're paying the same amount. The upfront cost is different, but you're paying the same amount. There's very few reasons for you to complain about getting this phone with this logo on it if it, you know, hurts you that much to have the logo on it. It's not costing you any more money to go buy it from the Play Store, you know, assuming that you could actually go there and buy one.
I know what the comments are going to say. They're going to, you know, same thing they do every time we talk about this.
I'm wrong.
You know, you guys aren't buying your phones, and we buy a lot of phones here, guys.
I bought a phone every month for the past 4 months.
Yeah.
My own Jerry money. And I hate it. Phil should be buying me these phones, damn it.
No, I think that's why it's important to be able to buy unlocked phones from the Nexus program, or what HTC is doing with its developer edition and unlocked edition, you know, that you buy directly from HTC. Yeah.
But.
Motorola, yeah.
There are people who don't have and probably won't be able to budget a way to save $700, $800.
That's why HTC and Motorola offer financing, too. Because they realize that a $650 Moto X is expensive. Hey, how about 0% financing, which is the exact same thing the carriers will offer
you. And that really is the best of both worlds right there, right? Because then you get it minus all that carrier crap.
It makes a lot of sense, as you know, T-Mobile will pretty much they will only sell you a phone at full price, you know, or finance over 18 or 24 months. And that's the same exact thing that Motorola is offering you. So that is nice. You know, you can do that with GS5 or a Note 4, but there are options.
Does Verizon or Sprint discount your bill if you buy your phone up front?
I believe Verizon does, because they have the new Edge program.
I'm going to say that would be the only reason I would say subsidies are better, is if for some reason you're stuck on, and I'll say Sprint since you said Verizon does it.
Yeah, I'm not sure of Sprint's deal.
And you're not going to get a break for buying it outright, and you're paying the same monthly cost anyway. Take that subsidy,
right,
and use some of their money for a while. But
because that was my whole thing is, now it's not just T-Mobile. The rest of them are moving towards that way where they'll give you a discount if you bring your own phone.
And they should. For years they've been taking from us. If you bring your own phone, you pay the same rate as somebody who's subsidizing. That was wrong, and that should have been corrected a long time ago.
Way down in the Q&A, Carl asks, is the ZenWatch MIA? And I'm going to say, no, it's not.
Oh, my God. I'm taking your tools away. Stop that.
Look at that. All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will talk some ZenWatch and then some other things. Promise. Here comes. Hey there, everybody. It's Phil. We're going to take a minute here and talk about lynda.com. That is L-Y-N-D-A. I can't stress how important that is. L-Y-N-D-A.com. Easily my favorite and most affordable way to learn. You can instantly stream thousands of courses created by experts on software, web development, photography, graphic design, and more. They add new courses daily. Lynda.com works directly with industry experts and software companies to provide timely training. So if you need to know something, there's a good chance, even if it's new, that it's going to be right there ready for you to learn. All the courses are produced at the highest quality, and they're not like homemade things that I might make in my basement somewhere. From people who actually know what they're talking about, they get paid to do this stuff. Tools include searchable transcripts, playlists, certificates of course completion. And whether you're a beginner or at the advanced level, lynda.com has all the courses for all the experience levels. Plus, if you're on the go, they have mobile apps, apps for the iPhone and the iPad, and yes, Android. One low monthly price of $25 gets you access to all of this, by the way. It's more than 100,000 video tutorials. Some of the new courses they have available now include Simple Android Development Tools, Android Studio First Look, which, by the way, is closing in on its 1.0 beta release, Building and Monetizing Game Apps for Android. So if you're looking at getting into creating apps for Android, it's a great place to start. Now, we've worked out a deal with lynda.com to get you a special offer. You can access all their courses free for 7 days. Just go to lynda.com. Again, that's lynda.com/Android Central to try it free for 7 days. lynda.com/Android Central.
Before we go back live, Phil, get your other ZenWatch too, so we can talk about that strap.
I already did, so we're back live now. How about that?
Okay. What?
You can't stop me.
No, I can't. I can hate it.
So, yeah, I've very much been in watch mode for the past couple weeks. Sony Smartwatch 3 review should be up shortly. Here it is, if you haven't seen it before.
Quick and dirty. Yay, nay.
Quick and dirty. Watch. It's, you know, and I'm not a big fan of the rubber straps. I don't think I've been a, you know, made a big secret out of that, but I wore this one for a good week or so, and like the rubber strap didn't bother me at all. I'm also not a huge fan of the, what do they call these, deployment clasps?
Yeah,
it's the same as the Gear S one.
Yeah, it's not. It's because the rubber is better than the Gear S. And
but I mean the clasp style.
Yeah, the clasp is the same, and it's the same as the ZenWatch, actually.
Yeah, the Gear S is rubber. I mean, maybe you could tell me because you have both, but it's pretty stiff.
It's really stiff compared to this, and, okay. And that's what made this acceptable to me. This is a pretty good active watch, I think. The selling point of this is that it's got GPS built in. It's also got Wi-Fi and NFC, but they don't work, so I kind of don't even bother mentioning them because they're.
I mean, that's kind of weird, right there, isn't it? You're shipping stuff in the hardware that isn't there in software yet.
Yeah. So
presumably it's coming, but you're still shipping it. You're the stuff that you just can't use yet.
I could see NFC for pairing, but still not understanding Wi-Fi very much there.
Yeah. So no, it's got GPS, which is cool because I love the idea, especially because we have Bluetooth. You know, from the watch to our headsets, that's important, so you don't have to lug around a phone with you, especially if you're getting this giant Nexus 6, right? I mean, it's not just the Nexus 6. As phones have gotten larger, it's tough, and I've tried running with the HTC One. It's a little tough. It was really tough with the LG G3, especially if you don't have a case on it. So just being able to take the watch out and have it, you know, track your exercise or whatever you're doing, it's pretty cool. I like that. The catch is apps have to have updated for it. And as far as I can tell,
to access the watch's GPS directly rather than
right
phone.
Okay. And I haven't looked horribly, all that much. Uh-huh. But all the usual apps that I would use for tracking exercise, like Runkeeper, Endomondo, and Runtastic, none of them does the GPS yet.
And so, when you're the one Android Wear watch with it, how can you really expect them to be updated in a timely fashion?
A lot of this stuff is just early adopter problems, right?
Right.
Well, there's also the issue that if you wrote your app and used Google's best practices and only looked for the unified location, now your app's not going to work with the Smartwatch 3 and you're going to have to rewrite it again.
Yeah. Because
you're looking at the phone like Google recommended.
So right now, Google's My Tracks app, which is not a horrible app, but it's more of a tracking app than it is like a fitness app. It will follow you around, and that's what I used. And what was really funny, if you haven't watched the video yet, the video is up, and you'll see it in the review as well. But it looks like I'm weaving back and forth on the sidewalk.
Looks
like literally back and forth, just
I'm walking. So you're running around against the data, Phil.
Remember yeah, that, right.
Like, Santa game?
But it worked. Sony's LifeLog app says it will, you know, sync up your steps and all that, but it doesn't do GPS either. So it just syncs your steps up when you get back within range of the watch, which, okay. Well, and then there's a golf app that I didn't try out.
I'm very impressed that you told me it didn't absolutely destroy the battery or get so hot it burned through your arm.
No, sorry, my arm is still intact.
Those are my two biggest fears of what's going to happen when we start using a real GPS radio on a watch.
Yeah, and, you know, again, we'll have to see how much difference individual apps make out of it, right? And I forget what my number was. I've got it in the review somewhere. Let me see if I can pull it up. But it wasn't a huge number.
You're number one, Phil.
Thank you. Where's my review? There it is. No, it was about... No, not that. A 15-minute walk took about 5 percentage points off. And see, that will, you know, plus or minus. Yeah.
When you come back and you need a shower because you've been out in that Florida heat, you can charge your watch to get that 5% back.
Yeah, now, you know, depending on when you exercise during the day, that might be a thing. But actually, the battery life on the Smartwatch 3 was pretty impressive, and I purposefully left it off the charger at night a couple times and was able to get about to lunchtime the next day. So that's, you know, again, these are not more than, like, day-and-a-half watches. You're going to need to charge them. The batteries just aren't that big. But from that standpoint, it was pretty impressive. The display was decent. The watch faces, Motorola's doing the watch faces the best. I think LG is probably number two.
Do you want to talk about charging briefly on the smartwatch?
That's So
you can actually plug micro USB straight into the watch.
Well, so yeah, a couple things, crazy. And I'll preface with this. So you can actually pop the body out of the strap for what it, you know. So you can change straps. Okay, I haven't seen where you're actually able to buy them anywhere yet. Let me find it.
I just want a pendant.
So you actually plug micro USB straight into this thing.
Fail.
Which, on one hand, like seems like a good idea, but it's still awkward.
I have to say that's better than the clip-on dealy that the Samsung ones do, but dang, that's not nearly as nice as the cradle.
A hand crank would be better than whatever Samsung uses.
but is it better? Because if you break it, you can buy another clip-on dealy for $29.99.
Not if you break the clip on the watch.
Yeah, and that's where it's been breaking.
And with the Sony watches, you're not going to break it. It's just a USB port.
But USB ports are big failure on a lot of devices.
So hold that thought for a minute. We'll get back to that in a second. I've also got the Asus ZenWatch. I actually have three of them here, as luck would have it. I got to send one back soon. So this is it. This one I don't think is charged, so it's not going to turn on. But this is it with the leather strap that comes with it, which is why I'm showing.
The beautiful leather strap.
It really is. It's very nice. It's another one of those deployment clasps that I'm not crazy about, but it fits okay. I'm just not a huge fan of leather here because it's so humid. They just tend to stick on me a little bit, and I like metal. I just, you know, not ashamed to say it. I like metal. I don't know why I would be. So it's standard 22 millimeter watch bands. And actually, these have the quick releases, which are I like that a lot, especially in this. Real easy to take off, so that's nice. But yeah, it is a really nice leather band. So don't take the fact that I've taken mine off to mean that it's not nice. Now I have had a couple people say they don't like the spacing and just how far out the lugs come. You know, first, it's going to help you, you know, be able to use more watch band, but I think that's a nice little design feature, actually.
I think it's there because that means that most any band is going to fit.
Yeah. So what I have done is got a nice metal band, and actually I spent more on this band than I think I did I have a black band on the G watch. So this is a $70 bracelet. I forget who I got it from. I just got it on Amazon. Fits really nicely and looks really good. I like it a lot. So that's what it looks like with the metal band on it.
How are you finding the bezels on that compared to the 360?
That's the disappointing thing. And my 360 is somewhere. There it is over here. I don't think it's charged up, though. Oh, it is charged up. How about that? I'll take them off and put them side by side so you can see them. Yeah, the Asus watch is bezel-tastic. Let me put a better watch face on it so you can actually see where the screen is. It is definitely bezel-tastic.
Whoa.
Yeah, Motorola wins there, going edge to edge.
That's the first I've ever seen. Oh, man, you just ruined another thing for me, Phil.
And yeah. See, that's not to say it's a bad watch, because I love the look and feel of the rest of it.
Put a black face back on it that hides that bezel and let us see it.
And that helps a little.
It looks terrible, though. Wow.
And that's just a weird color, too. Here we go. Digitalog. So that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's still just not as impactful as the Moto 360 is with that face.
Or the G-Watch R. You may or may not like that plastic bezel around it.
Yeah, I like it. It's just different. No, it's... This and the 360, I think, are the two most stylish watches we have. I will absolutely entertain complaints about the bezels. They stand out. They don't look as good as the 360. But if you're willing to overlook that, this is a really nice-looking watch. And, you know, I like wearing this one around.
It has a lot of stuff in it if you want to buy, like, a pad phone or something from an Asus phone. Isn't there...
You dock your watch into your phone and then your phone into your tablet.
And actually, I had lunch with Asus out in San Francisco last week, and that was the phone they had to demo it with. And, yeah, I think you get a little bit of extra stuff. I don't exactly remember what, and... To be honest, I'm not that worried about missing out on that as far as reviewing it goes. Especially here in the States, because there just aren't that many Asus phones around.
I just, you know, if you are that guy that has the pad phone,
right.
That's one more perk for the Asus watch.
But using it with a non-Asus phone, there is a Zen, and I'm trying to remember what it's called. I've got it on here. Zen Watch Manager. And they do recommend a couple other apps to go with it, which I'm not installing more than one app to run this watch. But it is one of the more feature-rich companion apps. So you can, you know, change the watch face and customize it from the app. What else? You can unlock my phone. What is that? Oh, okay.
Oh, trusted
Bluetooth. Cover to mute, so that's an option. You can cover the watch to mute it, but that's also been an option in other Android Wear. SOS, so you can have a preset message.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I thought I sent it to you. Maybe not. I'll try it again.
Let me turn the volume back on.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Okay, Google. Send SOS.
Oh, you just set someone's watch off that would.
I just sent an SOS to. Nope, that didn't do it. I'll have to play with that some more. Find my watch, so it'll find your watch if you lose it. Forgot phone warning, so if you walk off and you don't have your phone, your watch will tell you. which is kind of funny. They have a flashlight option that will really just turn on the face of the watch so you can kind of use it as a flashlight. But
that's neat. That's maybe dumb, but that's...
It's something different, right?
Something I would wish I had.
And it's got a compass on it for, you know, better or worse.
Finally, the compass is in the Android Wear setup. It shows you the compass, and nobody has a decent one. Finally, a company put one on by default.
Yeah, so it's a nice watch. I like wearing it. I think it looks really good. And obviously it's seen a lot of popularity. People have been waiting for it to come out. These things are still expensive. I have a hard time, never mind all the talk we just did about just buy a $700 phone to get rid of the logo, you know, ignoring that speech. These are still pretty expensive for what you get. And I get that they're toys still.
Depends on where you're coming from. If you're a watch guy, they're not expensive at all.
True. But I think for what they do and maybe the value you get out of them, you know, I absolutely get the hesitation, especially since, you know, we have six available right now.
I really like the way that Asus watch looks.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the idea the Sony watch has extra hardware that somebody may make something cool to work with. But I still say that, Jerry, one day somebody like Fossil or Tag Heuer or somebody is going to come out and say, here is your smartwatch that looks beautiful and does only what you need without screwing up a bunch
of people. Let a watchmaker teach you how to make watches.
Right.
So I mentioned, I'm looking at the Google Play page on the other screen here, and I'd forgotten that you can get spare charging docks for the LG one, or for the GR, or not the GR, just for the G-Watch.
I still think the G-Watch has done it right, best of any of them.
it's probably the most, not, I hate to say well-rounded, that's not right, but you know what I mean.
Other than the fact that you, if you choose to peel off the bottom of that sticky charger thing and put it on your desk, that you need to buy a second one now to put in your travel bag if you travel.
Right. Yeah, I didn't peel mine off. Nope. Oh, the ZenWatch is only $200, so it's not $250. Yeah, that's still not cheap. Oh, and it's funny looking at the, I don't think I'd actually really looked at the renderings of it that much, but the display is not quite as nice as how it looks on the render. It's just not.
The renders don't seem to show anywhere near as much bezel.
I think they do.
I don't know whether that's just my imagination or, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it there. It just doesn't quite stand out the same way. Hmm. But go back to the charging. So it has this little tiny charging dock thing that you use, and then you plug that into micro USB. And it's a tight fit.
Is it plastic or rubber?
It's soft touch.
Okay.
And then it just sits on the table?
Yeah. You know,
it's kind of like the tough fit, but I kind of like the dock nature of the G Watch one, where the dock is sitting there and then you just set the watch on it. And yeah, it's not as gigantic as the Moto 360 one.
And the magnets make a big difference there, especially with the second gen hockey puck type thing they use with the G Watch R.
Well, and Andrew was there with me in the airport last week I don't think I have one. It might be in my bag, actually. When I pull the Moto 360 charger out and stick it on the table there, and it's charging my watch.
Cheer, look at my watch. And how
it's presenting my watch to the entire airport to see.
Hey, this is the 360 charger, and we'll compare it to something else that's big.
Oh, stop.
Well, give people an idea of how big it is if you're going to say it's big.
The 360 charger makes a lot of sense for it's sitting on your desk and you set your watch on your charger, but if you're traveling with it, that's a hassle.
The 360 charger is really nice if you charge your watch at night.
Yeah.
Beside your bed, because it's got a real dim timer. You know, it tells you the time.
But in either case, I think that the dock system makes a lot more sense than you know, having to clip one of these things on there and then plug it into something else. It seems a little odd.
I would like to see Motorola bring a little, you know, that LG Qi charger. Mm-hmm. I think you have one, Andrew. That's like, it's actually the size of a hockey puck.
The puck. It's not that big.
I would like to see one of those, the size of a 50 cent piece made by Motorola, just to lay my watch on at night.
Yeah.
That's kind of going to be what the Apple Watch one is like, but with magnets.
I mean, you pretty much just described the G-Watch R charger, except it's not. It doesn't use Qi. It's just a little circle.
Exactly. You know, take what LG is doing for both the G-Watch and the G-Watch R, adapt it to Qi, and make it real small so it just lays flat and out of the way. I would like that.
I mean, the thing with the Moto 360 is if you go with a metal band or, you know, something, you need that vertical charger to set it on because the watch band wraps around the back. But if you have one of the standard leather straps, it makes way more sense to have it flat like the G-Watch is.
Speaking of that leather strap, everybody out there with a 360 who didn't change the strap, how nice does that leather wear, man? Mine is so soft and pretty.
You're just all about those leather bands.
And not steel and horrible like something Phil would use.
Not pinching your arm hairs.
This doesn't pinch my arm hairs.
No, I'm just saying, I really think...
Or maybe I'm just man enough to withstand a few pinched hairs.
touche. Didn't think I knew that word, did you? But they did a really nice job on this strap, and with all the other things to complain about, the strap is really, really nice, and I think I like it too much. I'm going to put it down.
Jason is asking in the Q&A if the bezels in the ZenWatch are there for the heart rate monitor. I'm not sure why the bezels be on the other side.
Well, I mean, that the heart rate monitor should be making it thicker, not... I mean, you could think of it as instead of making it thicker, they displaced other things out to the sides instead, but... I mean, as we know, with the Moto 360, we had the huge conversation about the bezels are a compromise to make it a certain size and fit certain components in it. I don't think you could tie it back to just the heart rate sensor.
Yeah, and I actually need to read up on this watch some more. I've just been wearing it and enjoying it.
Let's take it apart, Phil.
Right now?
Right now. All right. Get out. All you need is a hammer. Heavy rock.
It is a 320 by 320 resolution, which is nice. It's a little better.
Have you actually used the heart rate sensor on, does the smartwatch 3 have one too?
Or just
a Zen watch?
I haven't used one on any of them. I have zero desire whatsoever to know what my heart rate is.
I've been using it on the Gear S, so I was trying to, I don't have the Android Wear equivalent to compare to.
Show me my heart rate. Let's see.
I like just saying show me my steps and whatever on Android Wear. That's nice. And having it sync back to Fit for the very, very casual fitness tracking that I do. But I never found the heart rate, you know, let me sit here very, very still for 45 seconds to find out that it didn't capture it right. And I've got to sit there for another 45 seconds.
And to get a largely meaningless number at the end of it.
Precisely.
I don't want to break anybody's bubble, but my doctor is a nerd, and that's kind of cool. And he noticed my 360, and I was telling him about it, and he was looking at it. We checked the heart rate monitor to one of those things where you peel off the thingies and stick stickers to your chest, mm-hmm. and it makes the TV beep. It's way off. It is so far off.
It has to be. It's just a thing that's, especially in the case of the watches, it's not even firmly pressed up against your wrist, and it'll still get a reading. At least with the GS5 and the Note 4, you're firmly pressing your finger on this one thing to do one thing, whereas with the watches, it's just kind of sitting there. Yep. And they give you a huge disclaimer on the Gear S that it's for your, you know, for fun and information only. A bigger disclaimer than they even give you on the Note 4 when you do a heart rate check.
So yeah, you do check your heart rate by putting your fingers on the front of this thing. I just did it now and it worked.
Sweet.
Huh. So does it check your heart rate through your fingers while they're touching the front, or does that
Okay. On the bottom. 119 or
something. That would explain the bottom bezel, but not.
Who's that? Jason in the comments said something about that. Good on you, Jason.
But that shouldn't. I guess unless they want to make it symmetrical, right? That doesn't necessitate having huge bezels on all sides.
If they sold a watch that had a great big bezel on the bottom and not one on the top, you would be the first one to bring your hair out. What the hell?
No, you would have a Moto 360.
That was Jason Lee in the Q&A. Good job. Yeah, I've just been sitting here like wearing this watch and enjoying it and not checking my heart rate.
I have a problem with the huge bezels. No matter what side they're on, or if they're even. I mean, I just think it looks terrible either way.
I think it looks really good. I prefer that, you know, brown leather strap, but even with that link bracelet you've put on there, it looks, maybe it's not your style, but you can tell somebody at ASUS sat down and spent some time to make something that they think looks good.
I need to go buy a new bracelet for my Moto 360, because I don't like the Pebble one on there anymore. Hey, speaking of Pebble, actually, Pebble got a huge update this week. It can now properly do all notifications, and that's a big deal, actually.
That makes your $150 Pebble a whole lot more exciting in a world with Android Wear.
Yeah, especially, you know, if you already have one, but if you're also, you know, looking, how much is Pebble Steel? Has that changed?
I don't know.
Is it 150 these days?
It was 200 and change.
It was 250. I think Pebble Steel 200.
That's not bad.
That's Android Wear prices.
But Phil, a lot of people don't want Android Wear. They want Pebble.
And it gets you much longer battery life.
They want that, and they want simplicity.
Yep.
Only do the things I want you to do, and I don't even have to install all this other crap like heart rate sensors.
And it's got this already established ecosystem.
True. I think the real test will be not on the Android side, but how much, you know, the Apple Watch eventually eats into their user base. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about the Pebble being simple, but Android Wear is as simple or complicated as you want it to be.
Right.
It's only as complicated as the number of crazy apps that you install that do stupid with your watch.
My thing with Android Wear is if I'll go through the setup, turn it on, put it on your wrist, it just tells you everything by default. All that stuff should be off by default, like it is on the Pebble.
But
No, they changed that, didn't they?
I don't know.
Android Wear update. In a while. Yeah, I quit muting. Actually, I only had one app that I ever really muted. But yeah, they've changed it, so it's now, they call it block app notifications. In fact, I need to go update that post we did on that, or do a new one.
So I haven't even looked. I just installed it and went.
Yeah, okay. So now they changed the way it looks in X, but only do one at a time, that's a pain.
The main thing is that you can very easily just, I mean, you're talking about having to, you're going to have to customize any of these watches the way that you want them, but you could very easily have it just show you the weather, your steps, incoming email and text messages, and make Google searches. That's pretty simplistic.
Are we done?
We're going to have to agree to disagree. I mean,
how is that more or less simplistic?
You install the Pebble app on your phone and do nothing else. Your Pebble tells you when you get a phone call, when you get a text message, and that's it. It doesn't tell me when Phil changes a bunch of stuff in Trello.
Right.
Has my name on it. Or.
Oh, but it's going to now.
Duolingo thinks that I need to learn Belgian or, you know.
Belgian?
Whatever.
You know what I've been meaning to do? Learn Belgian.
Flemish.
That's a show. I think that's our show title right there. Let's learn Belgian with Jerry.
I think that the simplicity as far as maybe noise of notifications isn't the only measure of simplicity. It's how well it's set up and how well it integrates with the system and everything like that. And that's not something you could say about
Pebble. You just hate Pebble, don't you?
Well, there's a reason why mine's in a drawer collecting dust.
I mean, you talk about simplicity. I think and let's kind of segue out Pebble a bit maybe, but my biggest problem with Pebble was the way it went in the 2.0 update that moved away from a lot of that simplicity that was so great about the initial release. Where there was this, you know, really simple, relatively cheap smartwatch that would just work with not all your notifications, but the vast majority of the ones that you cared about.
And then here's a Foursquare app, and you can check in from your watch.
Agreed. Before this App Store craziness, I really like the way Pebble did things. Just put it on and use it.
Let's go through the Q&A and close things out, shall we? It's the top question, so we'll answer it. If you could choose only one, which phone would you currently use for your daily driver?
I currently use a Moto X.
Note 4 Edge, baby.
We didn't have Andrew talk about that any, but go read his review if you haven't
already.
Answer it, Alex.
I would use the Note 4, which is what I'm currently using. For reasons of screen and battery life and camera.
I'm still very happy with the Moto X. I'm not sure. Quiet, you. I'm talking to you. I think I want to say the camera's gotten better, but I'm not 100% sure that's
it's
the case.
It's still pretty rough.
Yeah, you think?
I'm stuck between the Moto X and the Z3 Compact. I hate the software on the Z3 Compact. I love the size and the form factor. I love the software on the Moto X. I hate the size and the form factor. So I don't know what to do.
We're about to put up our best phones post again, and I don't mind previewing that we kind of... Well, we didn't pick a best one this time. We picked a lot of best ones.
It's hard.
It's not impossible, but
we're different answers there.
Yeah, we're not breaking news here. We've talked about it 100 times, you know. Any one of these phones is a really good phone, and I would not stop you from buying any of them.
Right. It depends on your criteria, too.
And that includes this monstrosity right here that I can't possibly understand.
The G3 is the best value for the money. The Note 4 is the best if you want cutting edge, and it's going to be surely lasting you a year. There are so many different things when you say best.
Yeah, I kind of think our job at this point is to present them and the plus or minuses as best we can. Yep. And not, you know, there's some phones that we're just going to say don't buy. And I think the closest I've gotten this year was the Z3V. And even that's for almost superficial reasons. There's still a lot to like in that phone.
I mean, I said that at the Note Edge too.
But what it is easy to do is tell you these phones we think you should buy. One of them will be the best for you, and I think that's what we're doing this year.
And it's not just one phone. So that's right.
No, although there is one phone at the top of that list.
Right, and that's the Moto X 2013. Buy it.
Gerardo asks, would you guys believe we might get a Nexus watch sometime next year?
Nope.
I don't even know what that would mean.
I think we already have. Sorry, I think we already have like 6 Nexus watches, don't we, basically?
Yeah, I mean,
for all...
I don't know what Nexus means. I just don't.
Means unicorns and lollipops.
Means an AT&T logo on the back.
Right.
Means another thing to complain about.
Ouch. Duncan asks, when do you think we will see USB-C being the standard connector for Android manufacturers, or at least in flagship smartphones? Is that the one that's reversible?
Never. Yeah.
Yeah, that is the reversible one.
Never?
I mean, you've got to think that the stuff for next year is pretty much getting finalized at this point. I would think probably 2016 at the earliest.
I would say 1 year after the EU demands that all smartphones sold in the EU use a certain standard.
And come with Belgian as the default language.
Right.
Oh, here's a good one. Anthony asks, whenever I cross my arms, I tend to turn on my watch and change the watch face on the Moto 360. Anything I can do to avoid this inconvenience beyond lopping off an arm or becoming less incredulous?
Who said that?
Anthony did. In the Q&A.
Thank God. It happens to me all the time. I thought it was only me.
Me too. We're having jackets made.
I get the vibration that you just long pressed on the screen.
Yep.
You're crazy.
You got to think, like, somewhere in software, if Google can tell the difference between, I don't know what, it can tell the difference between me touching the watch and my arm touching it.
I mean, the nice thing is now it's going to be so cold for the next 5 months, I'm going to have long sleeves on all the time, so it doesn't even matter.
I've got the air on today. You guys don't want to hear about it. Oh, man. Flipping through here. I'm not going to get to them all. I'm sorry. When will we see a review of the Smartwatch 3? Asks Dan. As soon as it's built, I'm done with it. Here's an interesting one from Sachin. What do you think of the Nokia N1 tablet and the Nokia Z launcher? I haven't used the Z launcher. I should try it some more.
Haven't either.
Get that garbage out.
I think it's it's Foxconn licensing the Nokia name and making a Foxconn tablet.
Yep, it's a...
Foxconn making a copy of Foxconn's other tablet.
Right.
It's a generic design like Amazon's Kindle with the word Nokia embossed on the back. Done.
And it's moot if you can't buy it where you live anyway. So.
Which is launching in China first, and then who knows.
There's a lot of people in China, just none of us.
And supposedly it is coming to Europe, but who knows when.
But, I mean, I think that... It's going down the same road that Polaroid went down, where they just start licensing their name for everything. So,
I mean, that's a good way to leverage the value of your brand. But you got to say, you know,
especially after you sold off the rest of your company to Microsoft.
Yeah, I'm going to say the brand value of Nokia is questionable, but it's certainly decreasing, and it's certainly questionable as to what that brand actually means anymore, especially after the Microsoft buyout.
Right.
Davin says, now that Google has integrated Exchange email into the Gmail app, I can no longer glance at my Moto 360 and just tell by the icon whether I have just received a work email or a Gmail message. Do you think Google will separate Exchange back out?
Nope.
Just use their regular email app like you always did. You don't have to use Gmail, right?
Yep, it's still in the Play Store. You download it.
Yep.
Or any other email app.
And we've all had those moments where, oh my God, I got to do this, and it turns out you don't really have to. So just go back, man.
I'm right there with Hangouts. I'm real close to moving Google Voice back out of Hangouts.
Dude, I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The app is just so bad.
And you know, Hangouts is awesome. Love it. But I like having that differentiator because it's usually my wife texting me or you know my parents or something. Having that differentiator between my wife and Jerry. Say.
Woo! Start sending you more texts just so you can differentiate.
But I've already kind of started to consider. I brought in an Outlook and a Yahoo email into the Gmail app, and it gets a little funky having all four accounts in there along with the AC account and my personal account. So I'm there with you. It is kind of annoying to have them all in the same icon, but. If you really need that separation, it's easily done.
On one phone, I use Hangouts, my SIM card phone number, and my Google Voice phone number. And I finally realized, you know what I hated most about BlackBerry? Everything coming into one stinking single place for notifications. Why am I doing this to myself? And took them out.
I need to talk to, a lot of the people I hang out with, they're using Gmail, right? But some of the ones who have been most vocal about that are people I know who work at HTC because they use Exchange for email.
And they have a really good Exchange app.
And they have a really good Exchange app, and I think that's part of the reason why. So I'm really curious to see what they think about all this.
Yeah.
Sean, a local guy in Gulf Breeze, says, what watch are you wearing daily? This week it's the Zen Watch. I don't think I'm going to gallery night tonight. Sorry. Well, it's not going to be cold. Bezels. But, the bezels. So, we talked about how the Zen Watch charges. What? What? Oh, Richard. Richard's pinging us in Hangouts.
I thought make Richard on. Join.
I know, we should.
Bring on little Richard, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had a kid on the podcast in a long time.
It must be the milkman's baby because his little son is beautiful.
Wow. Just wait until he gets that full head of hair like Richard.
Wow. All right. Is that it? Are we done? I don't think we can top that. We will be doing a podcast next week, by the way.
Gobble, gobble.
Even though it's Thanksgiving week, we'll probably just record it early.
I will see how drunk I can get and how much turkey I can bring in front of this camera.
I just got another email decrying the update to Lollipop.
That gets better, guys. I mean, ask an old-time Nexus nerd.
We didn't actually answer what people can do. When you update, Jerry, I meant to ask you this. When you update this, the cache clear automatically, is that what it's rebuilding when it's optimizing apps when it boots up again? Or is that something different?
Not the cache partition. That's rebuilding. That's a difference between Dalvik and I don't know what word to use, so I'm not going to use the wrong word. But no, it's not wiping your entire cache partition like it does when you reinstall factory image, which could be an issue. I mean, the best advice I can give you is if your phone or your tablet is acting up after the Lollipop update, find a group of people who don't have 46 devices on their desk. Go into the forums somewhere. Go to our forums. Go to XDA. I'll even give a plug to somewhere. Go somewhere where there are a bunch of people who focus on one device. They will have tips and tricks that get everything fixed out.
Because
you don't have to do that, but you kind of have to do
that. Because the problem is that the only blanket fix fix that we can offer is a factory reset that would apply to a wide variety of issues that people are having, and that's kind of a cop-out.
Yeah, nobody wants you to have to factory reset your phone if you don't have to. That sucks. Right.
Do it.
I mean, just make sure you flash the user data at the same time when you flash the image.
Now I'm done. Now we're done. Can we go home now?
I'm already home.
I'm going to make Andrew edit a podcast since he cursed in it. I'm going to let him go find it. Thought I didn't notice. Man. That should be the rule.
Andrew, there's your podcast title. Andrew says bad words.
And Jerry's going to be editing a lot of podcasts. It's new.
if you want to email us, you can do it at podcast@androidcentral.com. I will read one real quick, just because I meant to read it before I started wrapping it up. Where'd it go? I lost it already. It was a question about why don't companies like Canon make really awesome camera apps?
Because they want you to buy a really awesome Canon camera?
Jerry's always telling us that the optics in Nexus phones are the same as other phones, but the experience is always bad because of the software. Why can't a company like Nikon or Canon come out with an Android app that makes the camera experience great across phones? As a dad, and this is Patrick, by the way, I would pay $20, maybe $50 for a great camera app that I could bring to my phone and all my tablets.
Nikon and Canon aren't the ones that are going to do that for you. It's companies like Sony and I don't know if Kodak still owns them or if RIM owns these patents now. But, It's the software that takes the image data from a good lens or a bad lens and turns that into a picture. Companies have that locked up really, really tight, and they want a lot of money to use it. Samsung can afford to pay that money.
And arguably, that's the kind of thing that you can't really, you can do more at a system level than you can in just a straight-up Android app.
Right.
Not the interface.
And Sony is so protective of their stuff, if you root your phone, it erases it. So we're not going to see that in an app, unfortunately. What we do need is for a company to make a really good camera that runs Android, like Samsung tried to do. I think I would love to see them continue that with an updated model. Samsung, if you're listening, do that. I'll buy it. Phil will buy it for me.
Podcast@androidcentral.com. We are brought to you again by shopandroid.com. Go buy things there. cases, accessories. Note 4 stuff is coming in.
Do we sell any tarps that can cover the Nexus 6 yet?
Stop it.
Okay.
Wow. You can find us on Twitter, Google+, all those places. Search for our names. We're that crazy bunch that actually mostly sort of uses our names. That's the easiest way to find us, right? So we will be back next week. That's it for this week. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
See you later.